you think people learn to win, or do you think that some people know how to win better than others?
Well, I would say you haven't necessarily learned to win because you've done them all different ways. Right. So I don't know if that's the case in golf.
Question.
Amongst people who do win is that they just kind of hang around. They give themselves a chance to win.
Dew Sweeper girl, nothing I like better than walking around the streets of QS with you and enjoying a yacht runner.
If you want to get better at your game of golf, follow us to Dew Sweeper TV.
Well, we're so pumped here. Tour coach from the golf dorm. A couple of people most of y'all are familiar with. Will McFadden, who seems to be very recently like my full-time assistant driving me around, like driving Miss Daisy. Dr. Greg Carton, my good friend and mental coach. He's representing his Connecticut Huskies here tonight. Right. I believe they won 4-1.
We just did, yeah.
Big 4-1, congrats for you. And first time on the pod. Hard to believe because we've worked together almost 5 years or maybe almost six. We'll have to do some math later. Avery Weed from Mississippi State University. She's the number one ranked college player and from Ocean Springs, Mississippi. And I have had a ball having her down here. Wanted you to come down. I'm going to just talk for 1 second, but I really wanted you to come down for the first time to experience. We've worked for number of years, always like just me and you doing a golf lesson and going off to play college. But I really wanted you to experience all the people that have had an influence on me and as well as expose you to all the disciplines and the things that I think that are important to achieve the things that you have the opportunity to achieve. And I'm just so damn happy you came down. Like, I've had a ball. I mean, I literally –
You said that a bunch today.
Like, but really I literally, like, you and me, you and Colby working and Greg sitting there behind, like, I had a damn blast doing that lesson. Yeah, I had a fun. Have you had fun?
I did.
So you think we're crazy?
No. Of course not. No, I trust you with everything that I got.
Okay.
Wow.
Greg, you might need to talk to her. I want to say this, and then I'm going to let you two talk a little bit. So one of the people I really wanted you to meet, and he might blush at this because he's very sensitive, but is Greg, Dr. Carton. I've always loved his way with people and his way with good players and how he could get you to talk and he could get you to just kind of open up a little bit, and he just would talk about performance. But it never felt to me like a slideshow or this is what I do, right? It's just like you talking. And I thought, as good as great as a player as you are, and as much success you had, I just was like, you know what? Like, I'd love to see the two of them talk a little bit and him do whatever he does. Actually, I don't even know what I pay him for. I don't even know what he does. But I thought it was good. But you guys, literally, I'm not kidding, at least 2 hours worth of conversation on the putting green. Every time I came out, I thought you were talking about it. I said, Greg, I thought you were supposed to be working, helping these other kids.
That was my fault. Because selfishly, I was learning a lot.
Well, what did y'all talk?
Well, I'm fascinated with the whole college golf like scene and recruiting and just the whole – I don't know. I'm fascinated by it. It's such a hard thing to do, like college golf. And it's such a hard thing to do to get recruited. And I love asking college kids about their experience. And that's basically what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I was asking her about – and she sounds like, based on what you said, is having a fantastic experience. Not from obviously you're playing great, but like from a development perspective, mm-hmm. right? And you said this. Tell me if I'm wrong. You were a pretty good high school player, mm-hmm. not like top recruit in the country,
yeah.
right? Went through the whole process and has continued to develop each year. No, there's a lot to do with you.
I don't know, but I would also say like this is a good point for parents. You and I and the four of us talked a bunch of the weekend, like. Parents and people tend to overreact. Like if at 15, you're not beaten. I had a girl who's a very good player. She was a very good player. Dad knows a lot about golf. I mean, she shot 65 or six and he's like, oh, I got to take her to one of these academies because she's getting beat by a bunch of people. She's 13. And I'm like, it doesn't matter what you shoot when you're 13.
No.
And he asked, well, what do you think? I said, I think you're the dumbest guy I've ever met. That's what I said. But I mean, we don't talk anymore, but it's okay. But like, Like, everybody's so into being great now.
But not only being great, but being great right now.
No, that's what I mean.
No patience to be. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever win an AJGA event?
I did.
Oh.
It's one of the junior, I don't know what it's.
All-Stars.
Yeah.
The junior All-Stars.
Yeah, too. I actually won the first one that I played in. And okay. Then.
Did you play in a lot of them?
Yeah, I played in a lot of them.
Okay.
Yeah. I did.
All right. But not heavily recruited out of high school. Mm-hmm.
Which blew me away. I actually, even coaching and teaching her, I didn't realize. I just kind of always knew you wanted to go to Mississippi State. Like, she was very, from a young age, when I started, I knew that's where you wanted to go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But this is a message I would love to get across too, to work with a lot of high school kids. Not heavily recruited, just continue to progress. Are a much better player now than you were prior, right? And to be patient, right? So here's someone who wasn't heavily recruited, but is now the number one college women's golfer in the country. So there's a huge, the inquiries I keep getting from families are younger and younger because the window seems to be getting smaller and smaller in terms of recruiting. The competition is getting much greater, but everyone sort of develops at their own pace. And would you say you've been patient with your development?
Sure.
And after talking to you, I think you're a little bit different than most kids in terms of your understanding of like playing golf and what it means. But I think it's just such a good message to get across. Just things will work out if you're patient and continue to develop.
Yeah.
Not be in such a rush to be as good as you can be right now.
Mm-hmm. Especially in high school, I think it's big to not feel like you have to be like just completely prepared to go win in college out of high school.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me, the more I'm around it, how many of the ones that everybody says are can't miss people and that they're going to win, not that they don't have great, but that they don't like far exceed everybody else. But how many of the kids that are kids that you do kind of what I do where you're like, and that kid just gets better every year. Like, and maybe not like where they're shooting 64s or fives or winning every turn, but like, and like that kid really understands what they're working on and they keep getting better every year. How those kids, when they get to college and even beyond college, turn out to be great players versus the ones that when they're 13, everybody's like, that kid can't miss, you know, like we've all seen those.
Yeah.
But like I, the longer I do this, the more I think it is about getting a little better every year than it is about like how good are you right now.
Yeah, but also in that you're facing setbacks too, where you feel like you're not getting better,
right,
or things aren't going well. So be patient. I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you share the story that you told about? We were talking about your wins and how everyone was different.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I never heard this.
And it was like there wasn't one thing you did every time you won that worked. Everyone was a little different. To me, that's like gold.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we kind of went through all of like my three collegiate wins. And I just talked about like the different feelings that I had kind of down the stretches, I guess. But I talked about my most recent one. I had like a 4-shot lead going into the last day. And the girl, it was kind of like the girl that was behind me, we had like a big differential in us in third. So it was kind of the two of us just battling it out. And
it was her home course?
Her home course. She was playing several groups behind me. So I was kind of the one posting the score first. So I literally had no care about what she was doing during my round. And I think I was 1-under through 16, birdied the last two holes, and
How did you birdie those holes? This stuck out to me.
Yeah, I mean,
you weren't trying to birdie those.
No, holes. I wasn't. I was just kind of going about my business like I normally would. And it turned out I looked after she was 8-under with I think 2 or 3 holes left, and she had the potential to birdie the last two to tie.
Mm-hmm.
So it ended up being that I kind of did need to birdie at least one of the
But two. You didn't know that before.
But I didn't know that.
And she probably knew she had a birdie the last two holes.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
And again, it's no idea what happened to her or what she was thinking, but it's the greatest example. I was like, oh my God, that's it. Like,
yeah.
You go out there and try to make birdies, good things don't happen.
Yeah.
You go out there and just play golf and be okay with whatever happens, and you get what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching online, shocker. You were a few holes ahead, and I saw that she was playing really good, and you saw how you're looking, you see how people are playing. And I thought to myself, I said, I think if she pars 17, 18, she's in a playoff. I think if she birdies one of the last two, she wins. That's what I said to myself. And that's ultimately kind of like, you could see how it was going.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the same thing. You were 3, 4, 5 holes ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know. But I think that's a great point.
You thought you may have probably, based on how she was playing,
probably
had to make a birdie or two to win.
Yeah, I went into the day.
But it didn't affect how you played.
No, yeah. No, I went into the day. I mean, I had a feeling she was probably going to play pretty well. She's one of the best players in the world, and that's her home course. So I kind of went into it.
And she did.
Yeah.
You're right.
I was just trying to shoot under par because I figured even if I shot one under, it'd still take a really good round for her to beat me. So.
Did you do anything different to try to shoot one under, or did you just play how you normally
try? No, I completely played how I normally would.
And how about one of the other wins where you felt like you blew it but didn't?
Yeah.
You didn't finish well. I should say blow, but like.
Yeah, yeah. The one where.
You got deep. You guys are out on the putting green talking about this.
No,
I'm in there slaving away with Aaron.
No, this was fascinating.
because
everyone's story was different in terms of how it happened.
Yeah, another one that I won was at our home course my sophomore year where I shot 11 under to start out. Had like a 7-shot lead. And then followed it up with like an even par round, kind of not great, not terrible. And I think I had a 4-shot lead going into the last day. And then I was 2 under through 9, just 2 birdies, 7 pars, kind of cruising. And then hit 1 4-shot, made double. And then I think bogeyed the next hole. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, 1 over. And there's girls out there who were, you know, 4 or 5 under par. I don't know exactly where I stood in that moment, but I think I was probably.
But you knew going into that day, especially after shooting 11 under, that the pain of blowing a lead like that would have been far worse than the joy of winning that tournament.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And that's a hard place to play for.
Yeah.
When you're holding on because you can't deal with blowing that kind of lead.
Yeah.
And you almost did.
No, I almost did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I shot 4 over on that back nine and ultimately 1 by 1. But yeah.
That was a win.
But completely different.
Completely different.
Yeah.
And did enough.
What did you learn from that win? What did you learn from that experience?
Because
I know you, as well as I know, you do learn from every experience.
Yeah, no, I do. That was the most nervous I've ever been on that back nine.
A lot less nervous than the time when you had the big lead. Or a big lead, bigger, not as big lead, but, and the girl you knew behind you was probably going to play well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it probably had more to do with it being my home course and kind of having, I had a lot of support there that week. So I think that put just a little extra pressure on that. And then having that big lead to start is almost like you can't lose this type of thing.
Yeah, it would have been disaster.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what you probably thought.
Yeah. So it was definitely harder to close that one out. I kind of learned that, I mean, you just have to find a way to block out distractions like that. And just kind of.
Yeah, or know that you're going to have those.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a big thing, knowing that they're going to be there.
Yeah.
And just kind of dealing with that.
Those are great. This is great.
Yeah, but we talked about this too, like winning is a byproduct or a result of doing everything else, right? You can only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean,
you can give yourself a chance to win, and that's all you can do.
When you look at the great coaches, you know, and you look at, like, obviously where Will and I live, and, you know, we've been exposed to Nick Saban, right, and all of his success at the University of Alabama and how he preaches about the process. And I've had the opportunity once or so to be around him for a minute or two. And, like, you know, I've been doing Coach K at practice at Duke. I taught a gentleman the other day who played basketball for Dean Smith, and he was telling me stories. Like, everything is about doing all the right things in the process to winning, much less focused on winning and that the result happens.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think there's a very – I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm smart enough at least to realize that, like, if with the really good players that I've been so fortunate to be around, and Avery's one of the best, is that, like, if we can keep focused on the things that she needs to do and just keep getting a little better at those,
mm-hmm.
like, to me, the wins and the losses in the tournaments you can't control, but you can control the preparation and control how you prepare. You can control what you're working on. And sometimes you do everything right and you win a golf tournament. And sometimes you do everything wrong and you still win a golf tournament. Sometimes you do everything right and you lose a golf tournament.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
But, like, that tournament, the one, it was Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
You did everything right. Had you, that girl edged you out, you would have been okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Had you lost the one where you had that huge lead, and again, same result, but had you lost it, it would have felt.
Yeah, 100%.
What was the second win?
No. Well, we went back. But there was another win,
right?
That was different.
Yeah, my first win. Yeah, that one, I was tied for the lead with, I think, three other people going into the last round.
And you hadn't won yet.
This was no, hadn't won yet. Yeah.
Where was this one?
It was at Vandy's
course. That's right.
Yeah. That one, I know. A few of the girls that were tied with me were behind me. So I was kind of trying to just post a number and kind of see how it turned out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing with a girl that I think she started out two or three behind, but she was playing really good that day.
You were playing with her?
Yeah, we were playing the same group. So I know going into 16, we were tied, I think. Yeah, we were tied.
Oh, wow.
So my mindset was kind of on those last three holes to just try to beat her. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of see how that panned out for the rest of the tournament. And I finished birdie, birdie, birdie. And ultimately that was enough to beat her. And then no one else caught up either.
It helps.
Yeah. But that one, yeah, no, that one I had no nerves. And I kind of.
Yeah, but you may have had no nerves. Tell me if I'm wrong. You were focused on one specific thing in terms of what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And whatever you did, you post a number. And you see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of thinking, I have to win this, or I can't lose this.
Yeah.
And that's when it gets really hard.
Yeah. No, I was just trying to beat her, and it made me kind of play still aggressive, but mm-hmm. still smart. But, yeah, that one was still different than the other ones.
I think it's fascinating how there's different scenarios for winning, right? And I think
there's three right there.
But I think that, like, not going back to parents, we're kind of beating up on parents earlier, and I've been beating up on them all weekend. But, like, people think just winning is winning, but there's so many different scenarios and different mm-hmm. situations.
Yeah.
And you have to be ready for those. But, like, but you can't really be ready for them. Like, no. When it happens the first time,
mm-hmm.
you know, I remember, like, when you won the first one, like, watching. On the internet and stuff, like, and I don't text you a lot in between rounds. I mean, mm-hmm. you know that, like, I might say, hey, great. But like I always feel like when a player's at a tournament, like, they got to do their shit. Like, it's your deal.
Yeah.
Right. And, but, like, I think it's fascinating how there's different scenarios. People think that just you go in and you play good, but there's different scenarios. You get in different situations and you have to learn how to handle and deal with those yourself. Like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, we help and prepare you. I'm not saying we don't, but, like.
No, but we help and prepare for the moment just to compete, not to win.
Mm-hmm.
And next time you're in contention, your prior experience is not going to really matter because it's going to be different. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to say, oh, I did this last year and this is going to work today. It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
Every time you teach, and I think that's a big misconception. People talk
about it. Let me ask you this.
Oh, if you've won, you can win again.
So I think she's a winner, right? I think. Do you think people learn to win, or do you think that some people know how to win better than others?
Well, I would say you haven't necessarily learned to win because you've done them all different ways. Right.
Yeah.
Right? True. You've won.
Right.
So I don't know if that's the case in golf.
I was just curious what you thought.
I think the most common
that was like a random Tony question.
Amongst people who do win is that they just kind of hang around. They give themselves a chance to win, I think, is the most common.
Yeah, I would agree.
Right? And we talk about, it's rare where you're going to have a 7 or 8 shot lead with 3 holes left.
I think when you look at the great players in the game that have won lots of majors, they had the ability to put themselves in the mix a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Right. How many seconds does Jack Nicklaus
have? Right. 100%. Right. I think that's a commonality of great. Like, you know, when you go, oh, this guy only won one major. Well, like, how many chances did he have? Right. Yeah. And it's great he won a major, but like, how many times was he in the mix? Like, there aren't that many people that have won multiple majors. I'm probably, somebody's going to call my ass out on this on social media, but how many of the guys who won multiple majors were only in the mix those 3 or 4 times?
True.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
you just got to keep putting yourself in. And
you know, I'm a huge Ben Crenshaw fan, so I'll bring this up. He's my idol, right? Like, he's won 2 Masters. But, like, he was in the mix in a bunch of other majors, finished second and then went, you know, anybody won those 2 Masters. Like, there's, you know, it isn't like, you know.
I think the most – it's just that every time you teed up, it's going to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And you didn't do anything different to prepare the days you won, mm-hmm. right?
No.
And I think that's an important message. There's this assumption that – there's a winning mindset that if you do it, you're going to win. And I don't think that's the case. And that should take a lot of pressure off you. Yeah. You just got to hang around, focus on what you're doing, not what anyone else is doing, and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I think being consistent in what you're doing is the biggest thing you can do.
I think that's one of your strengths. I think that's one of your strengths, Will. And I think that's ultimately what's going to get both of you where you want to be is – your consistency and how you work and what you work on and what you do. And I do agree. I think it's easy for people to say, I work hard. It's harder to go do that and stay committed to what you're doing every day, mm-hmm. each time.
Well, Emilio is a good example of that. Who's developed some consistency in the last couple of years.
He'd be happy for us going to Rocco's Tacos. And I wouldn't have ordered hard shell tacos because that pisses him off.
But he's committed to the things that he knows he feels good about. Mm-hmm. In the face of adversity also. Mm-hmm. Comes back to those things over and over again.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. I really do. So this was, to wrap this up, this was your first whole Dew Sweeper family group experience, which is amazing for having been with me 5 years. But I've been very protective of it. especially of like Greg, you know. And what'd you think? And how? I asked you this kind of over the chicken wings, which wasn't a fair time to ask because they're good wings. Still think we should have done the dry rub, like just tell. But anyways, did you come in? What were you expecting, if anything? And what did you? What do you think?
Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect, to be honest. So. Really didn't, but I thought it was great. Especially just getting to talk to, you know, all the people that you work with all the time and just picking people's brains was great. And I mean, I feel like all of it kind of correlated together, which I thought was great. And I thought it was great how Greg, like, I've never really seen like a mental coach as interactive with like actual golf. Like, I thought that's really cool. Never really seen
I've that. Actually never seen Greg work until today.
That's my secret. No, but it's – I think in these – not to interrupt you, but what I've always loved about these camps, you've been doing them as long as not longer than me. Yeah, when you were
14.
He was drinking beer when he was 13 at a junior camp.
But that how much fun.
That's how we got him in.
How much fun people have and learn a lot. Right? They don't come here and put their head down and grind and be miserable and work for 8 hours a day. It's a lot of fun. I think you create a great environment. And like sitting in the lesson bay, that's a lot of fun. But people in there are getting a lot out of it too.
Well, the culture of the whole thing is what I've always loved, is how everybody roots for each other. And when we're out there working, like,
tell about Cosmo today.
Yeah. And by the way, these guys most of them are all strangers. They don't know each other.
Right, right. And over time, a good example, Baker Tolentino committing to college the other day, I was scrolling through his little Instagram post. There were 30 people from these camps commenting on it and talking about it. Like, everybody pulls for each other. Everybody's trying to help each other. And I think that's why it works out so well and people get so good or keep getting better from coming to these things.
I thought it was cool today. I said this to you. I've always felt like my job is if I can take people that really want to get better. And obviously a lot of it is to facilitate people like you, Will, and you, Avery, right? But whatever, whether it's Lisa Harwood or any of those people, right? Like that really are trying to get better. If you surround them with people that I think are the best in the world at what they do, like I told Avery, like you can pick and choose the parts that are going to help you. It's like going through the Morrison's buffet, right? They get sponsors. I don't even know if they're still around or have any money, but we would take it. You never heard of Morrison's Cafe?
No, we don't have those in Boston.
Probably not. But anyways, I do think they kind of went broke. But I was watching her all day, just kind of keeping my eye on her. And, fascinated, kind of bounced around, getting information from everything. And I think, and the thing I love the most, sometimes it's stressful, but is like going into the week, is we had a vast collection of people at crazy different spectrums. We had some members that were senior golfers that were one was good, one wasn't. You had kid that's beginning golf from France. And I mean, you had a young guy that played football at Southern Miss and is trying to play pro. And we just put them all together and throw them out there.
Like they're rooting for each other, and it's like a community.
It's cool.
Not to sound cliche, but yeah.
It is cool. Yeah. It is cool.
And all the different personalities of the people that work it. You got Wayne, who's old school, been doing it forever, from Alabama.
I'd love his vest. That thing, I think if you say you don't know, but Wayne has never appeared in public without that vest on. And I think if we took it off, it would walk out itself. It could tell us a story. Good.
Yeah, but just different personalities, so much experience in so many different areas.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. What a fun weekend. I love doing these. I love having you down.
I love it.
Will, you're the best. You've put up with me so much the last few months.
He's been to more of these than you have.
There's some truth to that. Avery, thanks so much for making the trip and for being part of the fam. And I mean, we're going to do this again. I think we're going to have Avery back. Are you okay with having her back?
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Let's do a vote. Okay.
I need to keep learning from her.
No, she's great. She's great. I just thought it was cool the whole day. Like I walked out, you two were talking, and I saw her doing some putting with Wayne. And then the stuff with Colby today was just fantastic. But how you were listening, and you will understand this, Greg, but like the longer I do this, the more you appreciate people that just want to learn and are really good students. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't matter necessarily, you're obviously great, but like how good you are. But like that kid Cosmo that's just learning, like that kid really was trying and was listening to everything. You want to help that. Mm-hmm. You know, it isn't as
but
much
this
about
has been what's been most amazing to me over the how many years I've been coming to these is that we've never once, literally once, had a bad student. Like I mean, Ben moved back. We have a couple names going on. But okay, in the last 10 years.
What are you talking about, Willis?
In the last 10 years, that one Ben Sutton who was like,
oh, yeah, you're right.
To
you're
learning
right,
you're and right. listening. Back in the day, it was.
Your you crew sent and those me one. Guys.
I'm not bringing his name up.
But like how committed they all are just to absorbing everything that people talk about. They're like sponges.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was good fun. Willie, thanks for being here. Thank you for all the work as well. Plus, we're going to keep getting better.
Always.
Doc, you're the best. I think I'm going to keep using you.
All right, thanks. Yep. Avery, I'll come back to the next one.
Welcome to the family.
Thank you.